Okay, ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the Midlands UK Pavilion for another busy and exciting day. We're going to kick off this morning with a debate all around the digital economy, how the Midlands has become the UK's engine for digital growth. I'm delighted to welcome to the stage Stacey Meadwell, who's the National and Sectors Editor for Estates Gazette, and she's going to take you through an introductory session and lead the discussion today. So over to you, Stacey.
Thank you. First of all, I'm going to introduce our panellists today. On the end, we have Mike Carr, who's Pro Vice Chancellor of Nottingham Trent University. Then we have Monica Fogarty, who's Joint Managing Director of Warwickshire County Council. And then we have Nigel Turner, Executive Director of Development, Property and Business Services of the Kier Group. And then Ardavan Amini, who's the Professor of Enterprise Systems, Birmingham City University. So we've got representatives from the public, private and educational sectors of this for this debate. And I said, we are looking at the digital economy. Digital economy is obviously a very big growth area for the UK. The government is pumping money in, and what we're going to be talking about is how the Midlands can maximise its potential and ride the wave of the digital economy growth. And I wanted to start off by turning to Ardavan, just to give a brief summary of what is driving the digital economy and the digital tech economy.
Good morning. Okay, this works. Okay. I was told not to press anything. Okay, I'm good. Excellent. So welcome, everybody. So digital economy. So digital economy for economical growth is underpinned by the social tech, so the cognitive technologies and so on. So in the Midlands currently, there is a lot of activities happening from bringing together the people, places, and the businesses. So from the place point of view, we're looking at the infrastructure, the digital infrastructure, the connectivity between various places. So we have things like the startups, where we have Innovation Birmingham, our launch of the Steam House, and then connectivity also connecting to the Midlands Airport and the HS2. So you have the infrastructure in place. But also we are looking at the how do we bring the citizens' engagement into place. And this is where the connectivity of use of social media and the technologies will help us to do that. So at the moment in the Midlands, there's a lot of investment going in to connect up the people and the places and the businesses together. And at the heart of that is to create a social tech zone which can support the social economical zone for the region.
Thank you. Right, what we're going to go through today is we're going to talk about some of the areas where the Midlands is doing really well, and then look at some of the areas where there is opportunity to improve. I wanted to start off by asking, the Midlands is probably best known for manufacturing. Is that an unfair label for it? Shall I come to you, Monica, first?
Am I working?
Yes.
Yeah. I think for most people, the Midlands, certainly around Coventry and Warwickshire, has got a big association with the automotive sector. And what most people won't realise is that the amount of technology that goes into automotive, there's a huge sector there in terms of the number of jobs in the supply chain. We were driving in from Nice this morning in a lovely new Jaguar F-Pace, nice plug for JLR there, and one of the stats I was looking at was the fact that 50% of the cost of a car nowadays is on the technology. So when you're sitting there surrounded by all of that technology, this is where you can see that the digital and creative technology is really taking hold within the Midlands. So the perception of manufacturing, I think, needs to move on so that people update their thinking to recognise digital and creative as a big role in the automotive sector.
What about beyond tech relating to car manufacturer, the digital generally? I mean, how is the Midlands doing with that?
Certainly within the Coventry and Warwickshire area and the Midlands, we're doing phenomenally well. So there are 139,000 employed in the digital sector across the Midlands. Most people will be really surprised to hear that volume of employment. But if you look at the gaming sector, for example, in the Midlands, there are 130 gaming studios. 40 of those are in Leamington Spa in Warwickshire, and that's why it's become known as Silicon Spa. And even people within the Coventry and Warwickshire area are very surprised to know that there are about 12,000 posts employed in the digital and gaming sector. Most of it is invisible. It's quite an invisible sector.
Is it more of a marketing exercise then for the Midlands? Because I had not heard of Silicon Spa until we started chatting about that, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So is it more of a marketing exercise that needs to be done?
I think certainly that there's a big marketing job to be done. As I say, we need to update people's understanding and thinking about what some of our premium sectors are. And we need to do considerably more, to promote the Midlands as the heart of the digital and gaming and technology sector. Yes, a lot more marketing.
So Mike, I just wanted to come to you now to talk obviously from the Nottingham perspective. What's going on in Nottingham from a digital perspective, and do you think that more needs to be done to kind of highlight the skills and what Nottingham has got?
Yeah, so thank you. Just to answer your previous question slightly as well, I think it goes without saying that digitalisation, as I call it, will just grow and grow over the next few years. Every facet of what we call our economy will be impacted on this going forward. There will be substantial changes in our manufacturing industry where digital technologies, but it could equally apply into our professional services, where we're now seeing already artificial intelligent robotic programs being able to actually be more accurate in their legal judgment than some young up-and-coming lawyers. So the whole world is about to change. I actually see it really building in terms of momentum. So where are we in Nottingham in terms of our response to that? Well, first of all, we're investing very heavily as a city. City is actually, when it adds up all of the investment that's come in from the private sector and the public sector, invested some £1 billion in activity. We have one of the fastest high-speed networks operating within the city, which is fantastic for the business community and the local community. There's clearly more to do and more investment. As far as the university sector, which I represent as part of the Nottingham community, we've got a real challenge because we've got to start re-engineering the way that we educate our people to embrace the digital technology revolution that's going on increasingly. Now, some of that will come down in the way we teach, and we may have to change the programs that we run. Some of it will be changing the content of that course, so it becomes predominantly more driven by the nature of work that people are going to be seeing. And it will be very much driven by the employer base within and around Nottingham, of which we have substantial engagement with. So the university is very much up for the challenge, as I'm sure the broader university base is, but fundamentally we still have that challenge. I think the really important thing is to recognise that the Midlands is particularly well placed here, because the axis that stretches from Birmingham across to Nottingham, particularly around the creative and digital sector, is probably as strong as you'll find anywhere in this country. And I agree with Monica, there's a bit of work still to be done to actually lift that profile, but I'm sure we're on the verge of something really strong in the Midlands, and we were delighted to see both within the industrial strategy, within the Midlands Engine strategy that just came out recently, and the original proposition, the importance and positioning of digitalisation and creativity within that.
I want to come back to talking a bit more about the credentials in a moment, but I just wanted to ask you, and I wanted to ask Aldovan, is about student retention in Nottingham and Birmingham, because obviously you go through the process of skilling up the students, and then do they all go off and work somewhere else? I mean, what's the retention rate?
So at the moment, as Mike mentioned, they have quite a bit of a challenge in terms of the industry. The university sector is changing in the way we have to operate in the future. You will see very soon the government is announcing the apprenticeship scheme. There's a lot of people who are interested to just not come to university and go through the apprenticeship scheme. So to make it more interested for the talents to come to the university, I think we need to up our game in order to ensure that we can retain our students. it will be more hands-on, more practical-based courses, more tech-related courses, as going back to the digital economy is taking off and digitalization is built in within every facet of our lives as we go forward. Currently, we are seeing that linking up, and it's always been a challenge for universities, linking up what we teach at the sector and to real industry challenges and employability. So linking the supply chain where universities can actually tie in with the schools and colleges at the same time, linking with industry challenges is some of the strategies that the future universities, including ours, have to look at. So we are currently going through a big curriculum transformation at the university, looking at how we can flip over our curriculum and to be more industry driven and more practical to ensure that the talents coming out of our university, they don't come just with the theoretical and the research knowledge, but actually the industrial based knowledge. And I think with the creation of the Midland Universities Enterprises, where the universities are now collaborating, this is more and more possible. And obviously we have in the region the Skills Engine, which is the initiative which enables in the future talents to go across various universities and study various modules and gain certification, multiple certification from towards the degree as they come out to upskill and be ready for market and employability.
I'll come to you in a moment, Nigel, but I just wanted to ask the same question, Mike. You mentioned about doing closer tie-ins with businesses. Is that all part of the strategy to make sure that those skills are retained in the area?
So absolutely, and I think at the heart of it, we want more of our graduate talent to stay within our local communities. Nottingham has a particular challenge because it has two very large universities, some 65,000 students, most of whom come into Nottingham to join us, and sadly most of whom leave to go out to where they come. And there's no doubt about it, within that first year, there still is a huge migration towards London. Figures are slightly misleading though. Two things. First of all, more graduates stay than were first started in Nottingham. So we do have already a good churn of students. And secondly, actually, if you look at the figures 3 or 4 years in the future, they then come back from London and start working in the Midlands. So some of these figures are a bit misleading. But what I would say is two things. Absolutely agree with my colleague from BCU. It's all about working with employers. And as I've said to our colleagues in the local authorities who sometimes get quite exercised about this, it's about making sure there are good quality jobs for our graduates to go to in the first place. So it's all about working with our employment base. And we have some fantastic businesses in. And as a university, we're increasingly working with them. The second thing is also, and touching on what you said, is about entrepreneurship and how do we get more of our graduates to actually set up their own businesses? Because what we know is that if they set their own businesses up, they're often going to do that locally and they often stick then more to the city or environment they're in. So lots going on in Nottingham, lots going on across the university sector, but it's a real challenge. We do need to see more of our graduates sticking, but we need those good jobs to really attract them to stay locally.
So talking about jobs, I wanted to come to Nigel, obviously representing the private sector, representing a developer. Where do developers in the property sector fit into all this? Obviously there's it's a growth area, there's potential, but how are you tapping into that?
So I'm delighted actually to be here. This is the first time in my long MIPIM history where we brought together lots of different regional players, lots of local authorities, lots of investment bodies, and we're actually now representing One Midlands, which is great. And in order to attract and retain that talent, we absolutely need to provide not just innovation, we need to provide a whole lifestyle choice. So you can't attract and retain the best talent unless you're providing flexibility in terms of what you offer. Which is in the jobs market, it's in the housing market, it's in the transportation market, and all of those things need to be connected up. So from a private sector point of view, what we want to do is work with organisations, bodies, who can actually make decisions and drive performance and drive investment. And you're beginning to see that now in some of the hubs that we've had that have come out of central government and the region, in terms of, in particular, infrastructure, And by infrastructure, I don't just mean roads, I'm talking about digital infrastructure, the technological infrastructure, in order to create the capability to move people around quickly and to give them the capability of living in high quality areas. So the whole thing is connected. It's not just about jobs, it's about lifestyle, and it's about making sure people can afford and want to have an active lifestyle in a region. So that's hugely important, and it's important, I think, that all of the authorities that are engaged, you know, the 8 authorities that are engaged in the Midlands, that we actually try and join everybody up, because otherwise we'll end up with, you know, regional pockets, which doesn't work from an industry point of view.
So you've mentioned a point that I was going to come on to about the joined up thinking, and I suppose that's also connected with how the Midlands markets itself and puts itself on the digital map. But I just wanted to come back to the role of the property sector. Are there any particular projects that you've been involved with that sort of are directly related to the digital economy? Is it stuff that you're looking
at? There's quite a few. So we're doing some. I mean, I'll just give you a couple of varied and many things. So. In fact, with Coventry Uni, we're currently building a new business space for them, for their students, which has got, for example, a 6-metre virtual reality wall built into it, so that students, as they design and develop their schemes, they can actually trial them in a live, you know, in a live setting. On the highway network, we manage and maintain a whole bunch of highways in the region. And we've fitted all of our trucks with digital sensors, which are now picking up data around occupancy, use, damage, speed of movement, volumes of movement. And what we're then able to do is plan to invest so that we can move people in a more intelligent way, so what we call a smart element of movement. And then there's all sorts of things that as Mike said, segue into how we actually manage and maintain everything that we do on a daily basis. So, for example, innovation for me isn't about the really fancy high-tech sort of cutting-edge stuff, which frankly I'm a bit too old to understand anyway. But we're putting into, for example, our boilers that we maintain. Sounds like a really simple thing. Normally you get a boiler, you get a phone call, my boiler's broken, can you come and fix it? We're actually able now with technology to put data into the boiler that tells me before it's broken. So that changes massively the way that we do our day job. So within Kier, we've got all sorts of innovation that we're doing, not just in terms of occupied space, but actually how we manage spaces, how we, you know, use those spaces, how we get best use of occupation. In some of the office schemes that we're doing, we're now actually, the old mantra of, I want my own desk, and I want to be able to utilize meeting rooms, etc. If you digitally map how people use a building, most of us have a swipe card to get into a building. It tells us when we came in and when we go out. You can actually track movement of people, and you can then plan for occupancy much better. And when you're talking about an occupancy cost of, you know, which is one of your biggest costs, that can transform the workplace. So it's all quite exciting. What we need to do is make sure that we keep in touch with both those that are identifying and designing it, and then those that are actually occupying it, so it doesn't just become a sort of a theoretical exercise. And that's one of the things that we try and do.
I just wanted to ask, obviously you're talking about the technologies in the buildings, but how that relates to the occupiers. Is that technology and facilities that occupiers are now demanding when they're looking at your office space or business space? I mean, is that something that the industry's driving or the occupiers?
So I think it's a bit of both. So most developers probably, and certainly most funds, hopefully there won't be too many funds in the room because I might upset them, most funds are fairly predictable. So they will say, I want something that I understand. So if you put something in that is a little bit innovative, they may not necessarily pay for it, but you've obviously had to spend the money to deliver it. So you have to, it's a balance between innovation that drives new performance, new technology, etc., through to actually more pedestrian of that's what everyone's used to. In terms of occupiers, it's probably slightly less, most occupiers are slightly less understanding of what they want in terms of cutting edge technology. We do work with a number of occupiers who are absolutely on the ball in terms of what they want. So, for example, we're doing some stuff down in London with Google, and you know that's at one end of the spectrum. And then at other ends of the spectrum, we'll often end up suggesting new ways of practicing, new ways of doing things, simply because the occupier hasn't quite got that skill set. But that's because they're in the manufacturing sector or they're in some other sector. They don't understand how buildings operate necessarily. So we'll always try and make sure that we can explain and utilise the skills that we've got, pick up some of the benefits of what we've done elsewhere, and bring that into an occupier's profile. The unfortunate piece is occupiers probably won't pay you more value if you provide a newer, state-of-the-art technology building. They'll benchmark you against the market, and the market can push a little bit of the boundaries, but generally the market can't be dominated by, an upskilled rent or something like that.
Does that make it difficult to provide the right sort of space across the Midlands? Because obviously there are different rental values in different parts of the Midlands. So does that mean that certain areas that have the higher rentals that make it better value for you as a developer to build will probably benefit, and other areas where there are lower rents will probably maybe get left behind?
So if you look at the Midlands as a region and you look at particularly the office sector, there's very little brand new grade A speculative space built. That's one of the things that at Kier we'll try and address over the short term, and that's because fundamentally there hasn't been the demand, so occupiers have been absorbing the slightly less brand new space. What we need to do is try and make sure that we can design and develop new space that will push those occupiers into that new market, and it's all about then the confidence in the market. If I can see that the market's prosperous, then we will invest money in a region and we'll start building space speculatively. But at the moment you haven't got that new opportunity arising just because there's a little bit of cautious sentiment around what the market's doing. In other sectors it's slightly different. Industrial, there's plenty of opportunity, but that then tends to be less about the building and more about how you utilise the building, so that's more of an occupational issue rather than a development issue. And the retail sector, that's changing hugely, obviously through the internet, etc.
Come on in a minute to talk a bit about sort of the sort of, the demands that digital occupiers might make. But before, I just wanted to ask Monica, in terms of the sort of space that's being provided, is that a problem? You've got Silicon Spar, but is that an issue in terms of the trying to get the private sector to build the right sort of space based on the kind of the current market values?
It's certainly a challenge, and one of the reasons why we've been promoting the notion of incubator startup business housing combined with creative quarter, cafe lifestyle and so on. And this is where I think the role of the local enterprise partnerships really comes into play, because there's a connect needed between ensuring the supply of skills, the right housing policies, the right planning policies to make that environment right for growth. So if we look at the creative quarter in Leamington Spa, for example, what we're doing there is creating integrated living space for digital and creative users who actually can live above their incubator hub, their workplace, which allows them to have access to a creative lifestyle, but also to employment, and also helps us to ensure that there's a supply of skills there for the companies that want it and need it, which is about retaining students and skills within the area. And the local enterprise partnerships have a fantastic role to play there. Ours is certainly very supportive, and their role is pivotal in terms of linking up businesses that want to invest, planning policies to allow us to supply skills and ensure that we've got that supply chain working fluidly.
So if there was one thing you were going to ask for from the private sector, what would that be?
It would be talk to us to understand what the economy is doing locally, to understand which particular sectors are growing, which skills supplies we need to encourage, and therefore the shape of office accommodation, for example, as Nigel said, more grade A open plan offices, but also some new and dynamic thinking about configuring business environments differently. Have those conversations with us so we can actually share with the private sector an understanding of what the future planning and work environment looks like.
I just wanted to come to you now, Ardovan. Obviously, you talk to digital businesses. Is all this kind of music to your ears in terms of what they say about what would help them grow as a business, or if someone's thinking about starting up? Is this the sort of thing that they that would help them?
Sure. So I just like to pick up on some of the points that my colleagues mentioned earlier on. And it's all about the connectivity. So we have connectivity at two levels, at the physical infrastructure and at the digital infrastructure. So from the physical infrastructure connectivity point of view, places and use of places becomes very important. How we can have the places to be diverse enough. So not, I think as you as we move forward, and you see this happening in the Midlands as well, that you are not gonna see a building is just used for one particular purpose. You will see multiple purposes for a building to be used. So that's from the physical infrastructure point of view and the connectivity of that. And when it gets to the connectivity of that, just picking up on the point that Nigel has mentioned about the how do we make sure that these buildings using digital technologies are becoming more smarter, the BIM linking to facility management, and there's a balance, fine balance between making them very niche in terms of digital connectivity and then making them usable and, you know, comfortable for the occupants. And then you have what you have, one of the factors that the people don't take into account. As generation by generation changes, the next set of generation that come to this, they come, they grow up into the digital economy. So get used to the digital infrastructure, the use of mobile phone, the sensor technologies, the connectivity. They're no more afraid of, you know, sharing the data sets that they have. And then on the other side, I'd like to pick up on a couple of points. There's a lot of initiatives happening strategically to connect up at the digital layer, where we are connecting things like there are projects running at the moment, like the big data corridor, connecting the whole data sets from the industries and local authorities. And then we have projects running like Innovation Engine, which is what Innovation Engine will do, would enable industries and the private sector, as well as the entrepreneurs, to link up to the data platform, which is available, access open data, come up with new solutions, create new application, so bring true IoT into place, which is part, all of it is part of the industrial revolution. From the, when you talk to the businesses, going back to your question now, one thing that comes across is access to data, access to the right talent with the right set of skills, and being able to maneuver flexibly within the region. And one of the things that Midland has got, and going back to your marketing point, we don't market more about it, but it's there. And I've worked for 6-7 years, been at the backbone of a smart cities with Birmingham City Council, run a lot of things in the region, and you will see that the infrastructure is there from a physical point of view, from the connectivity point of view, the people, the willingness of the people. We have excellent talent within the region across the whole Midlands. And I'm not just talking about Birmingham, the Warwickshire, the Coventry, the Nottingham and everything. But what's not happening is we, from the Midland point of view, we don't talk about it. We are very good at talking about bad stories. We're not talking about what's happening in the good stories. And we need to bring that out. It's all the perception that needs to come out. But the businesses, I think what they're looking is simple digital connectivity and things like through fiber, 5G, and then access to the right talent. And this is what we're trying to do, working as universities together to ensure that we have the right people with the right skill sets. Obviously, Midlands being automotive sector famous, but we have a strong footprint in the creative industry as well. And for everybody to know, the flag of, for example, Birmingham as a center is engineering and art. And the question around the world amongst the researchers, when you talk to people at Stanford or MIT and other people, is there's no formula to balance design and engineering. But if you put the design up, you get a lot of creativity. So you get a lot of ideation creation, but then you don't get any production. And you, if you put the engineering up, you get a lot of production, you get a lot of formal happening, not informal and tacit thinking happening, which the two needs to link up together in order to then serve the market dynamically. So having a dynamic supply chain, as we have these verticals in industries within construction sector, within the automotive sector, working and then bringing the horizontal, which is the T across, is quite important key. And that's what the businesses are asking for. And it exists. And the initiatives from LEP, from the combined authority, they're all trying to support that. So I think what we are in need of is to trial and test and run a lot of pilot projects, which will enable us to learn and then improve that supply chain as we go forward.
I am going to be coming to the floor for questions, so if you do have a question, just pop up your hand and we can ask it to the panel. But I just wanted to pick up a point that you made, Ardovan, and ask the other panellists. Do you think there is enough of a coherent strategy across the Midlands to promote it as it's a digital economy?
I think it's a very valid point. We work across the whole of the United Kingdom. And I think one of the issues that both Manchester, London and the Midlands need to work on, because we haven't yet fixed it, is if Google suddenly decided that they wanted to come to Birmingham, how do we avoid, you know, Warwickshire, Coventry, Nottingham, etc., all competing for effectively the same space? So that's quite important. I don't know what the answer is, other than that we need to talk. And I think Monica's point about you know, everybody talking to each other is absolutely vital. But this is the start. And I think once we then start to create a brand and a realization around what the Midlands as a region stands for, what its growth aspirations are, why it's different, and you can then market all of those things, and then you'll start to build a momentum and it'll be self-fulfilling. So my response would be, we're not quite there yet. But as I said when I started, this is a fantastic you know, opportunity, really, and everybody's now pulling together. What we need to do is just keep growing on it and making sure we'll do that. And I'd like to put Keira at the heart of doing that. That's what we do well.
So, Monica, would you be happy if Google said they wanted to come to Birmingham, that they would go to Birmingham?
Going back to the point that we discussed earlier about the fact that the industrial strategy pays reference to the digital sector, I think that overwhelmingly the first thing that the Midlands needs to do is have a Midlands industrial strategy, which is about us identifying the key players, the key partners, those shared aspirations that Nigel was just talking about, so we can be absolutely focused on the industries and the infrastructure to go with them that we need to develop and aspire to and we want to develop in the Midlands. That includes raising the profile, clear marketing, joining up the skills sector and translating that into real action on the ground with a Midlands industrial strategy.
Do we have any questions from the floor at this stage? Nope, okay, I'll carry on.
So thank you. I just wanted to also add a few points there. So first of all, there will always be a little bit of competitiveness, and you should have that within the Midlands. The important point in terms of inward investment is actually you present the Midlands as a region internationally to encourage people to look at us as an alternative to, say, London. It's really important that. And then it'll come down to the investor really to decide where they would like to go. And it, you know, we would like them to come to Nottingham, but of course we'd like them to come to Nottingham, but it's up to us to demonstrate we can have something to offer. But if they go to Birmingham, what I've been saying is, then we should need to look to use the hopefully developing connectivity that we're seeing coming through from the government to actually encourage them to work in Nottingham as well as in Birmingham. How do we live off each other in terms of the opportunities and the economic growth that inward investments of those type come from? Our ability to join up is getting better and better every time. So we've got two universities up here. We're part of a group, as Ardovan has said, called the Midlands Enterprise Universities, right at the city centres, big creative and digital heritage. And we can offer inward investors and businesses a joined up approach if that's what they want across the Midlands. Equally, they can come to Nottingham or they can come to Birmingham and they'll get an offer presented there. It comes down to what they want. And lastly, the only thing I'd like to say is we just need to be a little careful on this word digital sector now, because I actually think all businesses are going to become digital businesses in the future, and some of them will be predominantly users and some of them will be predominantly service or innovation providers. But actually, we have to think of all businesses as digital businesses, and particularly as a university, how we then play that into the programs and courses we run. You know, I mentioned legal services. We have a very big law school in Nottingham, you know, but we have to think about how the digital lawyers of the future will be carrying out their work, and how do we actually train and develop the talent for that.
Monica, you wanted to say?
Can I just emphasise what Richard has just said, that actually, you know, the evidence is around us in this pavilion today, which is about how we've managed to get ourselves together for the first time in really quite a powerful way. I think in terms of competition, we need to get over ourselves. We need to recognise that when investment comes into the Midlands, it actually benefits a much wider area than a surrounding that specific site or local economy. We need to get over ourselves in terms of being parochial and wanting to attract investment into our locally specific areas. If we can do that, we will make enormous strides forward in terms of buoying up the Midlands economy together.
Does that stand for the Midlands versus the rest of the UK too? Or maybe not so much?
Well, no. Let's be realistic about it. You know, I think if we've gotten over ourselves sufficiently to join up for the Midlands, I think that's a big enough area for us to focus on. And let's be honest about it. We've lived in the shadow of the South East and London for so long now that we really need to put the Midlands on the map. That's not to say that it's to the exclusion or the detriment to other areas of the national economy, but let's be truthful about it. We're here today, we're rooting for the Midlands, and I think there's no shame in that. We need to not apologise for having an interest in pushing the Midlands forward.
Okay, we've got 2 minutes left, so final chance for a question from the floor, if anybody's got a question.
Can I just add something to this conversation?
Okay.
One of the two differentiators that the Midland will have in the future is around also the blockchain technologies, which there are a few initiatives happening around Birmingham, but the whole part of the combined authorities. There are a lot of research and studies been happening in that area. What is blockchain? Where blockchain can be used? Is the blockchain a competitor to the banks? Can banks use them as the investment arm or so on? And the AI technology, I'm reading some articles that is getting a bad name because people think AI is to replace people, and it's not the case. It's to automate processes and enable the engineering and the production side to be more efficient, to allow creativity and design to thinking and to flourish. So I think in the future you will see that these two will be one of the two key factors, and the word digital will go away because everybody would be digital and digitalized.
I was all going to ask you for one key thing that makes the Midlands great with the digital economy, but we've actually run out of time, so I can't finish on that, unfortunately. So if you'd like to join me and thank our panelists.